Well, grab your copy of God's Word and go with me to Luke chapter 1. We're going to begin our Christmas series this morning. Luke chapter 1. You know, there are so many reasons as you come into the Christmas season to love this season. I mean, the decorations, the lights, the Christmas trees, presents, gathering with family and friends, eggnog, huh? Eggnog's a big treat around our house this time of season. We go through it like by the gallon, it seems like, at the Simpson house. But we love eggnog. But Christmas, guys, just wouldn't be like Christmas without the songs of Christmas. What are some of y'all's favorite Christmas songs? Just shout them out for me this morning. Jingle Bells. What else? Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Silent Night. What else? Joy to the World. I heard one over here. Away in a Manger. Oh, Holy Night. Deck the Halls, what? Oh, Little Town of Bethlehem. I thought he said something about ham. I was really excited. Woo! Woo! No. But all these Christmas songs, but did you know that the first Christmas songs ever are found right here in the Gospel of Luke? Surrounding the birth of Christmas, over the birth of Christ, people just began to sing songs. Various people, angels, they burst forth into song. Their poetic lyrics, they jump out to us here because it's a story that's being told here. But in the midst of this story, all of a sudden, poetry comes out. All of a sudden, lyrics come out. All of a sudden, songs come out. And so over the next 4 weeks, we're going to explore these first songs of Christmas. We'll look at Zechariah's song. We'll look at the angel's song. And we'll look at Simeon's song. But this morning, we're going to begin in the beginning. We're going to explore Mary's song. If you would, grab your copy of God's Word. Go with me to Luke chapter 1 and stand with me for the reading of God's Word, if you would, please. God's Word, as you stand, just let me remind you, it is holy, it is authoritative, it is inerrant, it is infallible, it is sufficient, and it is divine. Look at verse 46 and reading down to verse 55. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in my God, my Savior. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He's shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever." Would you pray with me? Father, as we open this text and seek truth from it, Lord, it's all truth, but I pray that you would take the truth that's found here objectively, Lord, and apply it subjectively to our life, Lord. We want to bridge the first century, the birth of Christ, those days, to 2015. Father, would you be with us today? For those that need Jesus, we pray as we think about Mary's song that the person that needs Christ today would cling to Christ, reach out and grab Christ, the Christ that was sent into the world to save us. Father, we thank you for his name. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Grab your seat if you would. In today's takeaway, I'm calling you and I'm calling me to do this. I'm calling us to magnify the Lord and rejoice in our God. That's how Mary started off her song. She said, "My soul magnifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." When we think about the word magnify, you know, we often think about using some sort of instrument, perhaps a lens, a microscope, something like that. And take something that's really small and make it look really big. But that's not how the Bible uses the word magnify. You see, when the Bible uses the word magnify, the word megalunai in the Greek, you hear that word mega in there, megalunai, or magnificat in the Latin, maybe even your Bible has the title of this passage called the Magnificat. That means in Latin, the magnifying is what that means. It means to recognize the greatness of something. It means to declare something to be great, to exalt something, to glorify something. And here, we're to magnify the Lord. And we're also to rejoice in our God, our Savior. Now, it would be a mistake, guys, to see these two things as two different actions, two separate and distinct actions. As if magnifying the Lord and rejoicing in our God are disconnected. That would be wrong. You see, they're very closely connected. It's hard to do one without the other. You see, our magnifying of the Lord can lead to our rejoicing in God, and vice versa. Our rejoicing in God can lead us to magnify the Lord. Pastor and author John Piper, he likes to say this. This is a phrase you'll hear him say a lot. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. And so to tie that to Mary's words here, we might say this: God is most magnified in us when we most rejoice in Him. So we magnify God by rejoicing in God. And this is such an important thing for us to remember in the Christmas season. Because again, there are so many things to rejoice in, but I beg you, church, don't let God in Jesus Christ be second to anything in your rejoicing. Magnify the Lord and rejoice in our God. So how do we do that? Let's get some specifics here. We're going to look at Mary's song for some specifics to help us answer the how question here. And so first, to magnify the Lord and rejoice in our God, number one, let God use you to do great things. Let God use you to do great things. Here, Mary is a wonderful example to you and to me of Christian servanthood, of Christian faithfulness. Now, sadly, there are groups, particularly like the Roman Catholic Church, that have developed some unbiblical doctrines about Mary, basically making her a co-mediator with Christ, or even to go so far as a co-redeemer with Christ. Guys, she shouldn't be lifted up to such a high position, but she should be exalted, amen? I mean, she is a perfect example of godly servanthood. She was simply like a woman, just like any girl, any woman in here. There was nothing special about her that caused the Lord to use her to bear the Messiah in her womb. But Mary should nevertheless be lifted up. She should be special in our hearts as an example. She should be held up as an example of the great things that God can do through the life of a common person that allows God to use them. As I look around this room, there are common people right here. You're looking at a common preacher. And here, God, Mary, literally gave up her body to God in service to her God. When Gabriel the angel brought the news to Mary that she would bear the Messiah, she first is a little bit confused. What do you mean? How can this be that I'm going to bear a child when I am a virgin, she said. She was confused, but she got over the confusion, and then the wonder began to set in. And then came the obedience, the faithfulness, the willingness to be used by God to bring forth His plan. Luke 1:38 says this. Mary says this in Luke 1:38. Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Guys, what would life look like if that was our attitude all the time? How would your life be different? How would your family live differently? How would this church, Eastwood Baptist Church, how would it be different? How would Scottsville, Alverton, Plano, Bowling Green, and all the surrounding communities, how would it be different if we had the mentality that said, I am a servant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word? It'd be a totally different place, because you are representing God. But does He have all of you? Let me just challenge you. Is your life, do you see it in everything you do as servanthood to God? Later in her song, just a little bit later, we get her song, and her heart began to flow out, right? These words, this song, it flowed out of her heart as she reflected on how amazing it was that God would use her. Look at Luke 1, verse 46 through 49. We read it a moment ago, but let's look at it again. The scripture says this, and Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he's looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name." It amazed Mary that God would use her in such an amazing way. Again, simply a common Jewish teenage girl who was engaged to a common Jewish teenage boy named Joseph. She herself was a sinner in need of a Savior, just like you and me. Her estate in life was probably even more humble than anyone in this room. Yet when the angel came to her, announcing how God desired to use her, she gladly accepted his plans. Friends, listen to me. God loves to take what's common and do mighty things through them. And as I said a moment ago, this room is filled with common people. Let me say this, beloved. You are in a perfect position for God to do great things through. You say, "I'm just a common person." Perfect, God says. I can use you to do great things. That's how God works. This truth is so beautifully explained and in detail in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20 through 31. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 20 through 31. And this is a long passage, but it just so beautifully illustrates how God works, how he takes that which is common and does amazing things through it. It says this, verse 20, "Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to the worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth." In other words, we were common. "But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord." Praise God. Praise God. God loves to use what is common so that it will be plain to the entire world that all the glory, all the honor is due him. God loves to use what's common so that your heart and my heart might rejoice in him. He loves you and me enough. He knows that the fullest joy the human heart can experience is to praise our Creator and Savior. And God loves us enough to work out the details of life in such a way that our hearts cannot help but rejoice in him. Praise the love of God. Praise the love of God. So, beloved, let God use you to great things. Let God use you to do great things. Now, notice, I didn't say big things. I didn't. I said great things. I didn't say big things. God very well might use you to do something really big, right? Start a major charity or a nonprofit, or God might call you to preach or to be a foreign missionary, or God might use you to finance major ministries. He might call you to do something big. At my previous church, West Main Baptist Church, back well over a decade ago, on the first Sunday of every month, they began to take up an offering the first Sunday of every month. And they would send it, they called it the Brook Hunger Fund, and they would send that money, everything they took up, to the Southern Baptist World Hunger Fund. And by the way, that's a great organization for you to give to if you have a burden to help those who are hungry around the world. 100% of the money that you give to that organization goes straight to providing food, okay? But we called it the Brooke Hunger Fund, and it was named after a girl in that church named Brooke Martin. Brooke was her name. Brooke was in middle school when Christy and I and my family moved there to Alexandria, Tennessee. She's now in college, but when Brooke was 4 years old, back in 2001, she got a burden. Brooke saw a commercial on TV highlighting the hunger, the devastating hunger in the world, and you know what it did? It broke her four-year-old little heart. And she began every Sunday to go forward and to pray. And eventually the church became aware of why she was going forward. And the church saw God moving in the situation, and they began to distribute little bread banks to children all in the church. And then the church voted to match from the church funds whatever the children took up. And check this out, guys. You're talking about a church that at that point that was under 100 people. In 1 year, 1 year later from when they began to do that, West Main Baptist Church had given over $12,000 to the World Hunger Fund, which is enough to feed 90,000 people. Isn't that amazing? That was in 2001 when they did that, long before I ever got there. And in 2014, when I left there, we were still taking up that hunger fund once a month, every first Sunday, and that total dollar number at that point was nearing $100,000 that church had given over that decade or so. All of this because one little common four-year-old girl let God use her. He did great things through her. Guys, listen to me. You children, listen to me. It doesn't matter how old you are. God wants to take you and to use you if you'll let him. And I say this to the youngest person, to the oldest person. It doesn't matter how old you are. God is not a respecter of ages. He wants to use all of us to do great things through, if you will let him. But great things are not always the big things. Very often the little things are the great things, right? Have you found that to be true? Sometimes it's the little things. Simple kindness can go a really long way. It's amazing the impact that just one compliment can have on a person. One act of kindness, guys, can lead to exponential growth of kindness if you and I would only start it. And man, our world needs kindness right now, doesn't it? Amen? Our world needs kindness. And because Christ is in us, the Bible says that one of the fruit of the Spirit is kindness. It's love. And I pray that we would pour that out. You see, you and I, we have an amazing opportunity every day to let God use us to do great things in the small things. Take, for instance, like Affordable Christmas yesterday. That was 1,000 or more small things coming together, right? It's like the snowball. One snowflake gets together with other snowflakes, and eventually it becomes an avalanche. If you will do the small things, big things will come. But they are all in God's view, in God's vision. They are all great things if they are done in His glory and for His glory. That one small act, guys, think about this for a moment. The greatest, kindest, smallest thing you can do is to share the gospel with somebody. I mean, we can all do that. Every one of us can do that. If you have been saved, you have a testimony to share, and you can at least share that. That one small act could lead to an eternity of blessing for somebody. And so I beg every single one of you, search your heart. Seek the Lord about how God can use you to do great things in His name. And when you find that thing, do it. It's not enough to find it out. You got to do it. And when you do, you will magnify the Lord and you will rejoice in our God. A second way, guys, that we can magnify the Lord and rejoice in our God is to receive the grace and mercy that He has offered. Receive the grace and mercy that He has offered. You see, Mary, she didn't just stop being amazed that God would use a common person. She also focused on God's grace and mercy. And it is great. God's mercy and grace is amazing. Look at verse 50 through 55. The scripture says this, and his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He's shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. She is praising God for the very thing that every one of us needs. We all need, more than the air we're breathing, the grace and the mercy of God. What is grace? Grace is unmerited, undeserved favor. It's a gift. That's what grace is. Just picture a big old box wrapped up with paper and bows and all those things. That's what grace is. You don't buy a gift, right? You are given a gift. And that's what God has done here in grace, but also God's grace is great, but also his mercy is great. And here's what mercy is. Mercy is not getting the punishment you deserve. That's what mercy is. Although we've earned it, although we've deserved it, God in his grace and in his mercy says, I will not give you what you deserve. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, yet God, because of the great love with which he loves us, desires to be merciful to us. Now look at this for just a moment. You see her list. You see Mary in her song list out all these things, how God has shown grace, how he's been merciful. He has shown strength, primarily as we take the application to Jesus by defeating sin. The devil could not stop him. Death could not hold him, right? He is triumphant. He is the victor. But not only that, he humbles the proud, and he exalts the humble. God takes things and he flips it upside down the way the world does it. Not only that, he's filled the hungry with good things. If you've come here this morning hungry, I'm not talking about physically, although God will provide physically for you. If you came here spiritually hungry, God has prepared for you spiritually a buffet. And he's saying, come, take, eat. It's free. God will fill you. But if you came in here rich, you have all that you need in what you have done in your own life. You're not a beggar with hands open saying, God, give me more. But if you've come in here rich, what does he do? He sends you away and says, you're full. You don't need me. Guys, come in here. I pray that you would beg for God to provide, because you, and it might look like you're rich, but you are not. We are all poor. We all need the grace and mercy of God. Not only has he done all those things, but he has been our help, she says here. God has helped us. He has not left us to ourselves. Just imagine the world for a moment if God said, let them figure it out. I mean, just think about your life. If God said, just let them do it, we would be lost forever. But God has stepped in. He has helped. And as we think about magnifying, as we think about rejoicing in the Lord, guys, one of the greatest ways you can do that is to receive the grace and mercy that he has offered you. He has paid a great price through Jesus Christ that you might be saved and that you might have life to the fullest. And so I pray that you would receive that grace and mercy. But finally this morning, the third way that you and I can magnify the Lord and rejoice in our God is to help carry the message of the Messiah to the ends of the earth. Help carry the message of the Messiah to the ends of the earth. You see, Mary carried the Messiah. Will you help carry the message of the Messiah to the ends of the earth? Think about locally right here. Every day when you get out of bed, you enter into a mission field. You live in a mission field. You think, oh, this is just my hometown. I mean, the mission field's over there in China or over there in Africa. No, no. the world is a mission field and you live in the world, and wherever you are, that is a mission field. And so you have the opportunity every day to magnify the Savior, to rejoice in your God by being a missionary and helping to carry the message of Messiah right here in Bowling Green, right here in Scottsville. You have that opportunity every day, and you have the opportunity to do it personally, right? I mean, you could do a Facebook campaign, you could do a Twitter campaign, a YouTube campaign to tell people about Jesus, and you might see people come to Christ, but you know what? You'll never meet that person. You get the opportunity every day to do it personally, to get to know people, to walk with people, to love people, to be the physical flesh and blood of Jesus. You get to do that. That's how you help carry the message of the Messiah to the ends of the earth. But you know what? You can't be everywhere. And so you know what God has done? And it's greater than we even imagine, I know. We can't put our minds around the whole thing that God has done here. But you know what he's done? Since we can't be everywhere, he has taken his Christians and he sent them all throughout the world to places that have no witness. He has sent them to places that would never hear the name of Jesus. He has sent Christians to that place. Places that you and I will never go. But guess what? We can help carry the message of the Messiah to the ends of the earth through financially supporting missions. At Eastwood Baptist Church, we're coming into the season that we will receive the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. We do this every year. The Lottie Moon Christmas offering of the Southern Baptist Convention supports the International Mission Board. And for those of you that might be new, you might not know what the International Mission Board is. The International Mission Board is the greatest missionary sending force in the world. We have people everywhere, all over the world, sharing the name of Christ. And listen to this. This is really cool. When you and I give to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, 100%, every penny that you give goes straight to the international field. It doesn't stop in a pastor's pocket. It doesn't go to the electric company here in Bowling Green. It doesn't go to the national offices in Nashville. It goes directly to the missionary force worldwide. Just think about this for a moment. The International Mission Board, we as Southern Baptists employ 4,707 missionaries worldwide. You say, well, that doesn't sound like a lot. It could be more, right? We want it to be more, but that's pretty awesome. Think about this for a moment. Last year overseas, actually in 2013, the numbers that I have, overseas baptisms, how many baptisms did they have? Almost 200,000 through our missionaries. Amen? Yeah. Amen. Think about churches for a moment. How many churches were planted around the world in 2013? That's the most recent stats that we have. How many churches? Almost 40,000 churches. How many people groups are being engaged by International Mission Board missionaries? Nearly 1,000 people groups. But you know what? There are still 3,200 people groups that are not even engaged yet. So what does that mean? While these numbers are great and we applaud them and we're glad in them and we rejoice in them, the task is not done. That's what the numbers tell us. Although we're doing a great thing, there's a greater thing that needs to be done. God desires to do more. The world population, 7.2 billion people. And billions will die this year without Christ. And it is our job. God has tasked us with the job of getting the message to them. And one of the ways that we do that, we do it locally, we do it personally, but we also do it financially through men and women who've said, I will go if you'll only send me. But here's the thing. And this is heartbreaking. Maybe you've read this. This past year, due to financial things with the International Mission Board, we've had to call home 600 to 800 missionaries. We've asked them to take an early retirement. We've asked them to take a lesser job, possibly things like that. We've asked them to relocate and do different things. But that mission force 4,700 is being decreased right now by 600 to 800 missionaries. Why? Because there's just not enough money to support them at the time. And so we come to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering next Sunday. Next Sunday is when we'll take up the offering, the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. We call it here at Eastwood, the March to the Manger. And next Sunday, we'll have two mangers set up. It's a place where you can come. This week as a family, you get the opportunity to seek the Lord. Lord, what would you have my family to give that we might reach the nations through missionaries that we support? And next Sunday, you'll get the opportunity in the middle of the service to actually get up out of your seat. We're not going to pass the plates next Sunday for the offering, for the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. We're actually going to invite you to get up out of your seat and to march forward, not march, but to walk. We'll let you walk, okay? Forward and give a donation to God through the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. The goal for Eastwood Baptist Church is $75,000. And we've met it last year, and I pray that we meet it again this year. The goal for the entire Southern Baptist Convention, the entire Lottie Moon Christmas offering, is $1.75 million. That's a big thing, isn't it? That's a big thing. But what did I say a moment ago? If you take that small thing and put it together with other small things, those small things together in unison, in group, become big things. God desires to do great things through you. Let me ask you a question. Would you magnify the Lord? Would you rejoice in our God? How do you do it? Let him use you to do great things. Receive the grace and mercy that he has provided. And three, as we just talked about, number three is that you help carry the message of the Messiah to the ends of the earth. Here's my final prayer. As Pastor Mark comes, may God do great and mighty things in our hearts and then through us this Christmas. He's got to work in your heart first, but if he works in your heart, then he will work through you.